You.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus had revealed himself to the disciples and eaten breakfast with them, he said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon Peter answered him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon Peter answered him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go about where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, Follow me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Six weeks ago, on Friday of the Octave of Easter, we had the first part of this passage. Why does the church break it up? This would be beautiful for Saturday during the Easter Octave. But why does it break it up and put it right at the end of Easter? Reason is because it wants us to be open to what the Holy Spirit's going to be doing on Sunday. And how much we need the Holy Spirit for the reconstitution we see in Peter. We've gone through the dialogue enough, but it's so essential to grasping not only what the Lord was doing in Peter in the scene, but what he wants to do in us after our failures, that like St. John until the end of his life used to always be a broken record simply saying, little children love one another. If there's one scene we should know in its depth, it's here. And so forgive me if you already know exactly what I'm going to say. But in order to grasp this, we need to understand the Greek. When Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He uses the word agape in Greek for love, which means a total self-sacrificial type of love, unconquerable benevolence. And when Peter responded, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, he used the word philein in Greek, which means to love as a friend. Peter, during the Last Supper, had three times said, after Jesus had said, One of you will betray me, Lord, even should I have to die for you, I would never betray you. And Jesus said to Peter, Before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Later in the garden, he said, Pray that you may not enter into the trial, for the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And Peter's flesh was weak, and he just didn't see it ahead of time. So he apostatized thrice. I do not know the man, he said, when the maid with an attitude in the courtyard said, Surely you're a Galilean, surely you're one of his followers. So Peter wasn't going to make the same mistake a second time. Peter, do you love me with a total self-sacrificial type of love? Will you die for me? Do you love me that much? Jesus is asking. And Peter downgrades the appeal. Lord, you know that I love you as a friend. So Jesus asks him a second time, Peter, do you love me with agape? Lord, you know that I love you with philia. So the third time, which saddened Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me with philia? Do you love me as a friend? That was really the source of Peter's sadness. That Peter's high spirit was now being acknowledged to have been downgraded by the Lord himself. Peter still hadn't forgiven himself for his betrayal of the Lord. And the joy of the resurrection had not penetrated deeply because Peter was still, prior to the resurrection, in his own response to Jesus. So he was sad. Do you love me as a friend? Jesus said the third time. Peter said, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you as a friend. But Jesus wasn't going to leave Peter there. Amen, amen, I say to you, he swore an oath. When you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go about where you wanted. You were in charge. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands. St. John says, after, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God, because this Greek passive, actually, another will stretch out your hands and drag you to a place you don't want to go. That is a euphemism for crucifixion. Another will stretch out your hands and drag you to a place where you don't want to go. Circus of Caligula and Nero, and he would be crucified upside down October 13, 64 AD. Then he said, follow me. In other words, Peter, even though you are so chastened by your failure that you won't say in words what your spirit longs to do, that you will die for me out of love, as I died for you out of love. Even though you won't say it, you will actually put it into your own flesh. But what was the huge difference? Why, before the crucifixion, did Peter, despite his willing spirit, deny the Lord? And here, with his chastened spirit, say that he would be faithful to him to the end, that he would follow him even through his own Calvary to his eternal right side. It's what we celebrate on Sunday. The difference the Holy Spirit makes. The moral miracle that he worked in Peter and the others and wants to work in us. Changing Peter from a chicken to a shepherd, from an apostate to an apostle. What's the meaning for us? I think it's twofold. Jesus wants to give us all this second chance, and third, and 70 times seventh chance. He's constantly asking us, do you love me more than everything else? And he wants us to be able to say, yes, Lord, I love you with a total self-sacrificial type of love. I don't just want to be your buddy. I want to be your friend in a much deeper way, that no one has a greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. And that's where philia leads to agape. Eros should lead to agape. Storge, that loving familiarity we have for those who are near and dear, should lead to agape, because the whole Christian life is about agape. And the Lord wants to lift us up, and he sends the Holy Spirit, as we'll sing in the Veni Creator Spiritus, Ignis, Caritas, Spiritualis Unctio. He sends him as love so that we can respond with agape. We say a little bit later, Infunde amorem cordibus, pour your love into our hearts. Virtute, firmans, pirpiti, strengthening us with your unending power. Holy Spirit wishes to do that. Second is that without this agape, nothing makes sense. St. Paul, whose trial we had in today's first reading, would write to the Corinthians that if he had the faith to move mountains, and he did, he had way more than a mustard seed, but didn't have love, he would be just a noisy gong and a clashing cymbal. That if he handed his body over to the torturers, and that's what he was doing all the way along this trip to Rome, but didn't have love, he would gain nothing. Because the Lord wants us to have it all, he gives himself his love to us, so that we can, having received that love from the inside, united to him, love others. And he makes that very plain. The way Peter would love the Lord with agape would be to tend his sheep, his lambs, and feed them. That Peter's love for Jesus would be shown in his love for those for whom the Good Shepherd laid down his life. And so it will be with us. Jesus says to us each day, Raj, do you love me? And then he gives us plenty of opportunities to respond, not just verbally, but sometimes when others stretch out our arms to drag us to a place we don't want to go either, to a task we don't want to do, to a forgiveness our fallen nature doesn't want to extend. Gives us plenty of time. Sister, I hope God has given each of you somebody who's difficult to love at a human level. Maybe it's another sister. Maybe it's a guest. Maybe it's somebody on the street. Who knows? Because that's an opportunity for you to overcome that downgrade that we sometimes give to the spiritual life, so that the Holy Spirit can lift us up in that very moment. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Lord precisely to help us to love the Lord as he deserves, and to put that into practice by loving all those he sends us whom he's created in his image and died for. And if that help weren't enough, Jesus, like an infomercial, says there's more. And he comes in his own flesh and blood to enter on into us with the fullest outpouring of his love in this sacramentum caritatis, so that united with us on the inside, yoked to him, he might love together with us all those we will meet. Sister, you love me more than everything else.